My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But joining us to talk some NFL football, some Cleveland Browns football, and some offensive line on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we welcome in John Greco. And John, I don't know if you heard our last segment, because it's Little League World Series time. Always something fun. I'm sure you've seen the games over the years. Can you imagine a coach of a Little League World Series team getting into it with Aaron Judge over refusing, or in his words, refusing to acknowledge the kids at the Little League World Series? A sad state of affairs, John Greco.
It is a sad state of affairs. But, you know, I can understand the guy's frustration. You know, those kids are looking up to some of these pro athletes, especially Aaron Judge. I'm not fully educated on the situation, but didn't they get a chance to meet Garrett Cole?
Yes.
And the manager and some other guys. So I'm sure the kids were excited. Yeah, they wanted to meet Aaron Judge, but, you know, look, like when I played and we had an opportunity to be around kids, they didn't care who it was. Of course, they were like, hey, is Joe Hayden here? And we're like, nah, you just got the O-line. But they were still excited. So I'm guessing that's how those kids reacted, and then the coach just got a little salty. Maybe there's a lot of testosterone flowing because of the big stage. But, yeah, I heard rumblings about it, but I don't know the full extent of all the details.
I mean, an offensive lineman can never refuse an autograph from a kid, right?
No, absolutely not. We look forward to it. And it's funny because when I'm asked to sign my name right now, I can't. Like, it looks so sloppy. It's worse than what a doctor's looks like. Because for years, you know, I'm not saying that I mailed it in, but, you know, when you would sign these autographs, you would make sure your number was on it so they could be like, okay, who the hell is this? Okay, number 77.
That's good.
Well, now when I go to sign something, people are probably like, what is wrong with this guy? He can't even write his own name just from, you know, the habit of just kind of scribbling it on there, because I can't put my number on it anymore, you know, on documents and different things. But, yeah, anytime that O-line got to sign autographs, we could puff our chests out a little bit.
How many autographs have you signed in your life?
I would think it has to be close to 500,000. Maybe less. 50,000. I don't know. 100,000. I don't know. There's been a lot, and it's maybe that's too high. I don't know.
But unbelievable number.
It's a lot. I'm thinking 11 years in, you know, in the NFL and in college, and yeah. I don't think I was signing any in high school. But definitely the number has slowed down since I've retired. But it still happens, so it's up there in the thousands, I would say.
How often did you walk in and there was, you know, like they got all the foot, like everybody's got to sign it, and you got all the footballs you got to sign or whatever. I know in baseball they do that. There's 50 boxes of balls and you have to sign them all. How often is that? Is that like an early training camp thing and get it out of the way, or is that throughout the season?
Great question. The Browns did a good job of they kind of went to a system where during training camp, like I think kind of at this moment in between training camp and the season, in the indoor, they would have these big 8-foot tables set up. And, you know, like a guy like me, I'd have like 3 tables and it would have, I don't know, 50 footballs on it and a couple mini helmets. Well, you know, high profile guys, they would have the full length of the indoor of tables with stuff to sign. And wow. I think everyone liked that because it was like, let's just knock it out.
Yep.
You know, it took me 20 minutes or whatever, but some guys, it might have taken them an hour. But they don't have to be inconvenienced throughout the season when they want to focus on ball. And, you know, it still happened. Like in training camp, there's autograph sessions. But I think the team did that for, like, their foundation stuff and donations. So I thought that was kind of a smart thing. Yeah. But, you know, guys would have different things. They'd come up to you in the locker room, like, hey, can you sign this for my brother-in-law or whatever? Sign this for, you know, my kid's class. And, you know, you would never – no one would hesitate to sign autographs for kids especially and teammates.
Well, John, Jed Wills has had plenty of time to sign autographs over the last 8 months.
Well,
have you ever seen arthroscopic surgery need an 8-month recovery window? Like, what in the world is going on?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I've never had my knee scoped, but I feel like guys play in games like the next week after they have that sometimes.
Couple weeks, yeah.
A couple weeks, yeah. So, I can only assume that you know they are being severely cautious because they're saying, "Hey, we need this guy ready for the season. He's going into a contract year. We don't want to press anything. We want to give this thing time to fully solidify and be right." But maybe. You know, they don't want to roll him out there and risk further injury. I don't know. I'm struggling to find reasons, but I have to assume it's right and ready to go, and they're going to use this 2-week block before they square off against Dallas to, you know, get him cleared and up to full speed in a small window.
I kind of mentioned that earlier that I know a lot of veterans hate training camp, don't really want to deal with it. If they can come up with a reason not to. How long do you really need? Because we brought that up earlier in the show. I think if he's back next week, that's plenty of time and he can still go and everything's fine and this all becomes a non-story. How long does an offensive lineman need to get ready for the season?
I think it's a case-by-case study. I know guys that, you know, like Joe Thomas, for example, because everybody knows him, loves him. You know, he sat out most of training camp and he just needed a couple full-speed reps to bang the shoulder pads, you know, just to run off the ball, you know, work in combination with his guard, take some pass sets at full speed, which you got in one-on-ones. And, you know, toward the end of his career, he wasn't playing in the preseason. He was out there in shorts and T-shirt. But at practice, he used those opportunities to go take full speed reps in practice to get himself ready. Now, he was playing at an elite level throughout his career. So, you know, does a guy in his second year, can he just automatically mail it in and do that? No. For me, when I was in my second year, when I was in my eighth and tenth year, I still needed a preseason game just to kind of get everything well-oiled and ready to go. And guys use it not only for the speed and the contact, but to go through the mental kind of preparation of getting ready for a game day. Go through your pregame routine. What are you doing in the training room? What are you doing at breakfast, at lunch, getting ready for the game, your sleep habits, your study habits? What are you doing on the field before kickoff or your warm-up? You know, that's kind of the dress rehearsal, and you don't get a chance to do that if you don't play in the preseason. So I kind of liked it. I think everybody has their own routine, and some guys don't need preseason. They're magically able to, you know, wear visors and golf attire and sit on the sidelines and look handsome and then show up and be, you know, all-stars throughout the year. And hey, you know, hats off to them. But some guys need that full-speed energy and reps and routine.
John Greco with us on the hotline right now. We've been talking so much about how the offense is going to transition. At some point, it's supposed to go from, you know, under center, play action, run intensive to Deshaun Watson, letting him cook, so to speak, from the shotgun. How big of a transition is that for offensive linemen, especially the veterans like Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller?
You know, for those guys, I think it'll benefit them, because if it's not so much relying on ground and pound and being in the trenches and double teaming, and you know, you've heard me talk about how much offensive line love running the ball, but you know, those kind of games, if you're running the ball 30, 40 times a game and it's a physical game, that wears on you too, and I think you start to see injuries creep in. But when you're pass blocking a lot and it's play action and it's quick throws, and it's kind of, you know, short play action and get the ball into playmakers' hands quickly and let them try to create after the catch, I think that helps offensive linemen and really quarterbacks, because they get into a rhythm. So I'm curious to see how Kevin Stefanski's playbook is going to evolve and kind of feature more, get the ball in space, get it out of Deshaun's hands quickly, and let these athletic linemen run, move in space. We know we love watching them pull. You know, how much of Bill Callahan's influence is going to be sticking around since he's no longer there? You know, we see those counter plays, those change of direction plays, where you see Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, and the center pull. You know, I there remains to be seen. So I'm curious to see what it'll look like. Yes, Deshaun, I think his influence is there, where he wants to be in the pistol, he wants to be in the shotgun, get the ball on the edge, use his legs, move the pocket. His offensive linemen love that, because if they're pass blocking and moving the pocket and it's not, you know, ground and pound the whole game, I think that's going to make their bodies stay, you know, keep fresher longer. And then late in the game, when they need to lean on defensive linemen to finish it out in 4 minutes offense, they'll be even more effective.
Kind of along those lines, I was talking to a couple of the linemen go back a couple of years when Jacoby Brissett was here, and they said it was an adjustment midseason going from Jacoby to Deshaun, because with Jacoby in pass blocking, it was 1,001, 1,002, 1,000 balls out. And with Deshaun, it was 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, where's the ball? And because he's trying to make something happen. And he's got the talent to do that, to let things develop and open things up. But does that go away in this system, or is that still a concern for these guys, of you have to hold blocks longer because he's going to stand back there and hold it and wait for something that's not open? He's going to move around and wait for it to develop, and we have to hold these blocks a little bit longer.
That's always in their mind, and you just kind of know that with whoever's in the huddle with you. And that's funny. I remember joking, like, we would be watching opposing offenses while we were, you know, scouting the defense, and you know, we would laugh. We'd be like, "Oh, you know, how nice is that? You see an offensive lineman get beat with the, you know, right off the snap," and we would joke, "No worries, ball's away. Guy yeah. makes the Pro Bowl." But the harsh reality is, no matter who you have back there, and Jacoby Brissett was excellent on getting the ball out of his hands, and that was kind of the Patriot, you know, his growing up in that system and seeing, you know, how important that was. But Deshaun, to your point, he loves to create, he loves to improvise. So when those first reads aren't there and the design isn't there and it breaks down, I think that's where his mentality kicks in, and he's so dangerous to where he can create and extend plays. And you know, also to your point, they have the guys on the perimeter and the weapons that can get open or you know, make their offense so dangerous. So yeah, offensive linemen, you kind of know going into the game, and whoever's going to be the starting quarterback, say, hey, look, we can't have a stopwatch go off on our head. We have to assume he has the ball until we hear the whistle, until our guy turns and runs the other direction, or, you know, we hear the fans going crazy or booing. So that was always my mentality, and that's just kind of a thing that's baked into your genetic makeup as an offensive lineman.
Last one, we're talking to John Greco. This comes up every year, but especially because of the Watson situation after surgery and this week with the arm. Should he play in this game? Do you think it matters if he plays in this game? Because fans are really nervous about, because of the left tackle situation, whether or not he should even be out there to begin with.
Yeah, this is always the million-dollar question. I mean, I would always say no. He's such a huge investment, the current state of the offensive line, and I go back and forth in my head. I kind of talk out of both sides of my mouth, but hey, you know what? It's a free country, and I can do that. But I think it's too important. The risk is far exceeds the reward of having him go out there. Okay, he goes out in Seattle and plays one series or two series, and he's 6 for 10, and oh gosh, he converted a few first downs and they scored. Is that going to make us feel any better than if he doesn't play? Maybe so, but if you go out there and he's taking unnecessary shots, and then he's playing tentative, he's not feeling right, and then you're going against Dallas with a formidable defensive line and pass rush, to say the least, and an attacking style defensive line. I would say at this point, no. I know he was a full participant in yesterday's walkthrough or whatever, but I just think you have 2 weeks to get him right to play against Dallas. If you roll him out there against Seattle and he God forbid he looks rusty, then what are we going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks? People are going to be really puckered up. So I think it's best to just let him sit out, let him rest, get him ready, do the full speed reps of practice like you're doing without him taking shots, and roll out as close to healthy of an offense as you can week one against Dallas.
Wow, John Greco, who will be known from this point forward as the man who signed 500,000 autographs. Incredible, John.
Is that too? That's way too high of a number, right?
We're going to do the math on it when we come back. We'll explain how many autographs that is per day.
That's Wilt Chamberlain-like.
that's an extremely high number. I'm glad that I backed it up before we got off the phone, but yeah, hey, listen, I'm a popular guy, always have been, a local Boardman guy playing in Cleveland. I signed many, many autographs. I don't know if it was a half million, but
still out there in Powell signing autographs. Thank you, John.
Guys, thank you. It's always fun. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, John.
All right, John Greco. We'll see if that's mathematically possible. Mitch, start doing the math on that. 500,000.
How long do we think it takes to sign one autograph?
Couple seconds.
But he's got to put the number down. You got to remember that. He is also adding his number. And he started signing autographs. He said not really in high school, but in college. So you do the math on that.
Did he put his position down since he switched? He played guard and center.
I think the number is enough.
Okay. I'm doing the math here.
All right. We had one of the most outlandish assertions of all time coming from Greco, who said he signed 500,000 autographs. He's an offensive lineman. He's not Joe Thomas. I mean, we love Greco. He's amazing on our show. But maybe Joe Thomas, I could consider that in play. I don't know if I could say that about Greco. Owen is crunching the numbers. While he's doing that, Andy Roth, the boss, ran in here and thought it was ridiculous. You're not buying it.
There's no possible way he could do it. By the way, just think, and I'm not saying it's the same pace, but if he played 15 years of football and he signed 30,000 a year, it'd be 450,000. Okay, so say that's 20 weeks in a season.
Yeah.
You're not signing 1,000 autographs a week. You're just not doing it.
It's 91 a day. 91 autographs every single day, 365 days a year.
And by the way,
for those 15 years.
Let's see. Yeah. You carry the one, by the way, Al.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting, at 5 seconds an autograph, you do 720 in an hour. Mm. Okay. If you do, we'll go 720, and we'll say we sign autographs for an hour or for 4 hours a day. This is just off of signing
an
autograph.
And I've seen Ken Carmen sign an autograph. It takes him like 15 seconds.
That's only 2,880 a day.
If he doesn't, for how long?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For 4 hours a day.
And don't forget, he had practice. He has a family.
All right. So here's the thing that caught me, though. And I just want you guys to know this, that this is radio, so I can't really describe for the people on the radio as I'm going to do for the people here. When John Greco came to remotes for the Browns radio network, his right hand, I believe it's his third and fourth finger, are 90 degrees off.
Well, now,
and this changes the math.
In Greco's defense, though, I think that actually helps him because now he's signing a paper in front of him and to the right.
No, both at once.
It's amazing.
If you heard, he said he can't even sign his name now. What people don't understand about like these offensive linemen is, yeah, they'll sign anything. They will do anything. It's cool for them to do it. And yet he can't do it now because of playing 11 years in the NFL. 4 years, and we talked to Jason Bernie Kosar.
Yeah,
and you know that was before his announcement. The things that these players have to give up. I mean, he can't play golf, right? Bernie Kosar has so much more that he can't really do, but he's doing everything he can to make sure to live. Right? He can't sign his own name, so you take a look at what's going on with the Browns, and you go, "Wow, this guy signs every autograph. He's the best human being alive." I mean, really, Greco's one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. And he can't sign his own name right now.
All I know is when I wrote a book nobody bought, I had to sign about 200 copies of it, and it was awful. It was awful.
Why?
They were because it changed my signature forever. My signature.
There we go. Autographing, that's one a year.
By the way, it's division by zero
it's the only time I've ever signed anything is in that book.
I remember,
and nobody bought them.
I remember I threatened Jason a few years ago when that book came out. I found it in the Tremont Library, and I was going to hide it and put it in the wrong section. But I thought it would be like a fun open up a contest, have
like
people
Easter egg hunt.
Yeah,
yes.
An Easter egg hunt for your book, and have they get a signed copy from Jason.
But why
Lloyd.
Did change your why did change your signature?
Because I got so sick of signing my name that I changed it forever. It's now just a J and a squiggle. That's my signature on everything. Like any legal documents or anything, it's just a J and a squiggle. That's my signature. Oh. I don't write like I used to have like a J and an L at least with some squiggles. After that, I got halfway through the books, and I'm like, screw this.
Sounds like
Jay and a squiggle.
One of the members of the show is about to get a new car today and just sign Jay and a squiggle. Thank you, Jason, for financing.
All right, that was Andy Roth. We played that clip, though, Greco on Jedrick Wills. Just right now, one of the big debates that we get in on this show all the time with the fans, because I think, believe it or not, on Wills, most people are divided. Me, Ken, kind of think the same thing, which is it could be a lot worse. Which is crazy to think is the way the fans talk about Jedrick Wills. What do you think, Jason? What do you think this is for him this year? We know he's going through whatever with the knee, but if you're the Cleveland Browns, where are you going with this situation? Because he's going to want a new deal.
I've said many times, I think he's an average left tackle. I don't think he's nearly as bad as sometimes his reputation would tend to believe. He's not elite. He's not a top five, top 10 tackle in the NFL, but he's average. And average is okay. Like, average isn't Joe Thomas, and that's, I think, what people got used to seeing. But I don't know where you're going to go get better necessarily. You know, if the season goes the way you hope it is.
He's worth a second contract for the team.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be at a big dollar amount. But I don't know where you're going to go. Like, it's one of the hardest positions to fill. Like, you're not going to – at the bottom of the first round, I don't know that you're going to find someone who's better. Because the top left tackles are gone by 10, 12, 15. So I think he is what he is. He's not terrible. He's not elite, but you got to be on the field.
Yeah, and you know they'll point to the penalties. Look, you see it every team against Myles Garrett every week is committing penalties against Myles, and he's making them look really bad. Like the reality is in this league, you know, you're not going to have a Joe Thomas again.
No,
the reality is the great pass rushers and the great schemes are going to get around you a few times a game. Like, that is going to happen. And yes, Jedrick Wills looks really bad a few times a game. I'm telling you, watch other teams. Outside of, you know, the 49ers. Right. Watch other teams and see what happens when their left tackles are on an island. How bad it looks.
Yeah.
We were spoiled. We had an embarrassment of riches. Joe Thomas covered up and we had other problems when we had Joe Thomas, so maybe we weren't thinking offensive line nearly as much, but it's not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be one guy dominating that entire side for a decade. That just doesn't happen in this league.
No, so the Browns are fortunate that they have, I mean, Joel Bitonio should go to Hall of Fame. I don't know if he will. It's hard for guards, but he should. He's a Hall of Fame caliber. He'll be discussed.
Yeah, he has a chance.
Wyatt Teller on the other side has been terrific the last couple of years. Yep. So they've been very fortunate to get the line play that they've gotten. But, you know, Bitonio and Wills next to each other, that's not bad. That's pretty good. I just want to see him. I want to see him on the field next week. Like, if this goes beyond next week, like, you can make – if you want to say you don't want to play him in training camp, you know, whatever, fine. Well, we're past all of that. If he's not on the field starting next week, it's this line's going to be a problem.
Mike and Stowe, go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Look, the telephone pole with sleeves can just look. This is what I'm thinking. Look, let him play it out. I'm willing to take the chance. We got a lot of money invested in so many other players. The math just isn't there, guys, to give this guy an extra $5 million than we would have had to give him at the beginning of last year. Should have done that if that's really what we really wanted to do long term, is keep the guy. But honestly, look, we can do better than average, and we should be better than average on the left side, which is his most important side. And those guards are getting a little bit older. They're not going to be around forever. To have Wills as our anchor, the most money being paid at the end of on the left side for 5 more years doesn't make sense to me. That's just the way I see it.
Well, where it's going to give is the guards that you're talking about, making $17 million a year, and they are getting older, and they have had a ton of injuries. But the one thing you said that is interesting, the Browns typically do extend guys as soon as they know. Like, if they believe in a guy, they extend him. We saw it with Nick Chubb. We saw it with Myles Garrett. As soon as they could extend him, they extended him. Saw it with Jerry Jeudy. Before he played a snap here, extended him. Baker never got the extension. Jed hasn't gotten the extension. It is a little curious that they didn't extend him. It kind of makes you wonder what their plans are long-term, because their track record is when they believe in a guy, get in early, not late.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. They normally don't let it get to this point. Jed is, I think, part of it, and Ken has talked about this a lot. He does a lot of nitty-gritty work on that offensive line. He thinks it's a byproduct that Jed is not necessarily a guy that finishes all the plays.
Right.
And so that stuff
is glaring on that.
That stuff stands out. You hope guys can get better at that type of stuff, but, you know, we're in what year here with Jed Wills?
He is like, what he is.
It kind of feels that way. So, you know, he has some gifts. I mean, he has some amazing gifts. It's why he was drafted where he was. And I don't think it's been a bust. You know,
it's not a bust.
There are people that call it a bust. I do not think it's been a bust. I just think he's the weak one on that offensive line. And every team's going to have one. And he's going to look bad compared to the standouts that they have had, you know, for years. Veterans that have been really, really good. It's just not an easy position to play in this league. And I am nervous. I mean, you know, this is arthroscopic knee surgery. I don't know how in the world. You said it was 8 months. I mean, we've seen NBA players come back like 3 weeks removed from arthroscopic knee surgery.
4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's something doesn't add up there. That is something I'm worried about. But I'm not going to sit here. I can't speculate. Like, people are talking about work habits and, you know, whether or not the work ethic is there. I'm not there every day. I can't speak to that. It is surprising that he has been out this long, and so it does make me a little nervous. Lamenting what was a disastrous road trip. Luckily, they got that first one against New York, but they're
luckily lead. Juan Soto can't catch a fly ball.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because he should have caught that.
No kidding.
The David Fry base is clearing triple.
Man, we're feeling really good after that, though. They were booing them. They were booing the Yankees. And then, you know, they look like the Yankees the last two games. Really, the last two games, they look like a World Series team. Just in terms of the pitching between Cortez and
Garrett Cole. Especially when Jason says that the Guardians are still a World Series contender.
That's right. That's right. So I want to know.
I know. The team with, like, a one game off the best record in the American League. It's outlandish to say that they're a World Series
contender.
Jason,
I have been saying that. I'm with you. And, in fact, so much so that I got, you know, Ken yelling at me. I've got people upset because I've become a homer, apparently, now.
Oh, yeah.
This new version
imagine,
of me.
Imagine for
well,
a moment.
New Lima's a homer.
Imagine for a moment the Browns were in contention for the best record of the AFC, and you said they were not a Super Bowl contender, that they could not win the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't
Bowl.
Be allowed on the radio the next
you would be, your head would be hanging on a stick.
But now there are some trends here, obviously. You've had the revolving door at the bottom of the order, but now the top of the order between Kwan, Naylor, Jose Ramirez. I mean, David Fry has gone from all-star to
David Fry.
Should even be playing.
David Fry.
So all these things together point towards a very, very tenuous trend for this team if you think they're truly World Series competitors. Because I'll tell you, the Yankees fans, I saw it on social media. They're like, how did this team get so many wins? They obviously didn't see the version of the Guardians that I think the fans want to see again, which we haven't seen in a while, even though they had good series. They had good series against Baltimore. They had, you know, an even series with Philadelphia. It's not like they haven't played good teams well. They have this year up until they ran into Milwaukee and now the Yankees.
They split the Twins.
They did.
Four games with the Twins. Like, they're not playing their best baseball right now, obviously. Obviously, they're not. But it's August. It's not October. There's still plenty of time for them to turn this around. And listen, they could go out in the first round. Any team in baseball could go out in the first round. But they've had the best bullpen all season long.
Jason.
And the game has changed.
I hear you. The people listening in the first segment when you said that hear you.
Yeah.
Especially Jay and Talmadge, who got on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
He sent it in. He kept it under 30 seconds. Guys, a lot of you are not keeping it under 30 seconds. But Jay and Talmadge got in. He wanted you to know this.
At the trade deadline, we had the best record in baseball, and management decided to do absolutely nothing. Lemon Law Lane has been terrible. This is embarrassing. And quite frankly, they're going to miss the playoffs. I know Lloyd's on here saying, no, they're not going to miss the playoffs. And it's my anniversary and all that. Whatever garbage he wants to say. But they're going to miss the playoffs, I'm telling you.
But first of all, I don't know, what's with the pot shot about the anniversary? I mean, come on. This is 16 proud years. Jason Lloyd, did I get it right? Did you get it right? I guess is more important. Did you get the anniversary right?
I left a card on the counter before I left.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Flowers?
Baby. I left a card on Chuck the counter before I left.
Chuck in Cleveland also weighed in. He did not get in on your anniversary this time, Jason, but he's thinking about the playoffs as well.
I'm not so sure how you guys can be so confident they're going to still make the playoffs when they're down to only a 5.5 game lead over the third wild card spot.
Answer that, Jason Lloyd.
Because they have a 5.5 game lead over the third wild card spot with a month to go. Anything is possible. Anything's possible. I believe that this team's going to the playoffs.
All right. I want to hear from somebody, a respected national pundit. We've been talking about World Series or not. Now, I've said up until really now, this is the most anxious I've been about their situation when you're trying to project them. We already know about starting rotation, all that, but the lineup has gone south. I thought that they were magical. I thought that they were special. I thought that they could go to the World Series. Eric Karros does not agree.
This is an excellent list, but no love for the Central. No Guardians, no Brewers who are first
place. I love them, but we're talking about winning a World Series. That's it. We're not talking about just getting a lot of wins. You got to win multiple rounds. I just don't think that those teams are deep enough to win multiple rounds.
They're old.
MLB on Fox, audio courtesy of it. they're not getting a ton of respect right now. They were early on in the season. The first three months, they were. They're now starting to be kind of an also-ran the way that people talk about them, especially after the deadline. We've gotten to the heated deadline debates, as every city does. I mean, we understand that, you know, they were not going to be able to go get any of the big names, and a lot of the big names didn't get traded. They just flat out didn't get traded to anybody. Lemon Law Lane, unfortunately, is a nickname that might be sticking. This is really bad. It was supposed to be, he could hit lefties, but not righties. He can't hit anybody.
He can't hit anything right now. I would like to have seen them. I think the pitching prices are what they were. I get why they didn't go out and get a big name starter. Like, the prices were exorbitant. But I was disappointed that they didn't do more on the offensive side. I thought that there was hitters that they could go get that wouldn't have cost them anything. I mentioned earlier in the show, Paul DeJong would have been an upgrade in the lineup for sure over Rocchio at short. And he's adequate defensively. He's not elite, but he's adequate. And he's played really well for Kansas City since the trade deadline. And he's playing more third for KC than short. Obviously, they got Witt. But a bat like that would have cost you nothing and would have been an upgrade over what they have. So, yeah, if this thing flames out in October, you could point back and say you didn't do enough of the deadline for the lineup. Not even the pitching, just the lineup. But for right now, I'm just going to keep repeating myself. Baseball has become a game of bullpens. And the earlier you can get to the bullpen, when you have the arms that they have, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. If you're going to see games, I'll tell you right now, if the Guardians have the lead in the fourth inning, you're going to see Stephen Vogt go to the bullpen in October. That's how many arms they've got.
Yes.
And that's the strength of this team, more so than the starting pitching.
I find it very interesting just how inconsistent. You talked about how wide open, you know, this is right now in the American League and really all over baseball.
Yeah.
Look at these records over the last 65 games. Now, the Guardians in that time, 33-32.
500 team.
So for 2+ months, they've been a 500 team. The Orioles, 32-33. All right?
Yeah.
The Phillies, 31-34.
Yeah.
I know they're in the National League, but that is staggering. And the Yankees, 31-34.
So nobody's running away
Astros,
with this.
Now, I will say, Owen, you mentioned the Astros earlier this week. Mitch, you mentioned how incredible they have played of late. They are looking more and more like the Astros.
Yeah, they had a ton of injuries early, and they're figuring it out.
They've been to 7 straight ALCSs.
Which is crazy. I feel like that's not talked about enough. Maybe it's a cheating scandal.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it. Maybe people don't want to give them their due. But I think they've, to get to 7 of those, is it really 7? That's pretty staggering.
That's incredible.
So they've been there before. I would not want to play them. But then again, who would you want to play? It's the playoffs at this point. Like, I would have. Well, are you afraid of the Yankees? Like, if you were matched up against the Yankees after what you just saw, what would be your reaction?
It depends on the pitching matchups. But, I mean, you're going to have a level of respect or fear for anyone you play, of course. My only point is there's no team in the league that they can't beat. There's no team, even the Astros, there's no team you would look at and say they can't beat them in a 7-game series. Yeah, they could. Absolutely,
well,
they could.
If Kwan would have to get back to being Kwan again.
And we're 6 weeks away from that. Like, there's so many games still before that starts. If they sweep the Rangers and take 2 or 3 from KC, how are you going to feel about this team then? There's still plenty of time. It doesn't feel like it. There's still plenty of time. Look at the Cavs at the end of the regular season, what a mess they were. And everyone screaming and complaining about them. And then they win a playoff series and held their own against Boston despite all the injuries. Like, they were at least competitive in that series despite not having a lot of guys. So there's still time. There's always time in baseball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.